This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Wednesday, May 20th, 2009. I'm Caleb Brown. James Bartholomew argues that the welfare state in Britain has resulted in a generation of badly educated and dependent citizens, leading to lives of deprivation for thousands and undermining the original intent behind its creation in the 1940s. We talked about his book, The Welfare State We're In, on Monday. One of the points brought up by one of the questioners at the forum today was that there is an essential difference between welfare benefits that are provided privately through charity and benefits that are provided through the government. Based on your experience, what is the difference between the two?
Well, I can't say it's based on my experience, but based on my knowledge, there is an enormous difference. Benefits that were provided charitably were such that would usually come from a friendly society. Now, the existence of friendly societies is largely forgotten. It actually appears very little in any history books you might read on the subject. But 6 out of 7 million industrial workers in Britain used to be members of friendly societies. They were enormous. And what happened was, if you say you lost your job and you couldn't get another one, you would ask your friendly society for money. People from your branch, because they were all divided into local branches, would come round and visit you. They would tell pretty quickly, and they'd know you. They would know pretty quickly whether or not you were a genuine case. If they were, you would get your money, which you were entitled to under the terms of your agreement, because you've been subscribing to the friendly society, you would get money back when you were in need. That was the whole point. And you'd probably get more assistance as well, if necessary. If you were, for example, if you were ill. But if they saw you working in the garden, perfectly capable of work, when they knew work was nearby, then they would be outraged. You would be shamed in your community. People who knew you and in that friendly society would inevitably regard you as a thoroughly bad person. So the pressure on you to behave well, to be honest, to be more than honest, never to be accused of cheating people that you knew, was intense. Whereas if you go to a modern benefit office, people there you've never seen before, you'll never see again. You're filling in forms. Everything is done according to a form. It's a completely impersonal experience. It's extremely unlikely that if you're claiming but working, that you will ever be discovered. So the difference in the pressures on the people concerned were very substantial.
Thomas More and Martin Luther, you mentioned that they had some things to say about welfare as a government enterprise. What was that?
Well, not as a government enterprise necessarily. They developed, I think, certainly in Martin Luther's case, he developed ideas and theories about creating a community chest into which people would pay money, and out of which money would be paid to those who were in need. I can't give you the details, but there were a number of experiments that took place around Europe, and some of them are quite well documented in that time, in the time of Shakespeare. And around that time, there were a number of experiments in various German cities that are quite well documented. Different people came up with different ideas. Models were circulated around different cities. It tended to be, I think, city-based rather than the national. And that the main unit for giving out welfare benefits in Britain at that time was the parish. And the parish would typically be a group of families amounting to no more than 1,000 people. So benefits at that time were very, very personal. And that's indeed why people felt under such pressure not to take advantage of them.
A lot of what I hear you're saying of the story of Britain and the welfare state mirrors at least some of the story in the United States of the mutual aid societies that existed before the New Deal. Now we're about to enter an age, possibly, in the United States where we're going to enter national healthcare system. You say that the British experience may offer a warning with regard to healthcare.
Well, not with regard to the whole welfare state, but with regard to healthcare itself, I think the British experience, above all, is a warning. Do not allow the government to start supplying it. And if you see, I mean, the British healthcare system is so disastrous because it is entirely monopoly. Now, I don't think that is proposed by anybody in the States at the moment. But one of the persistent problems you find with all elements of welfare is that once you start, it gets bigger and bigger. Supposing you have a big government program and it is found not to help one, say, 2% of the population of a particular sort, then you will have another government program that's aiming to get that. And then there'll be another group that's not there, not quite looked after. And then it will be found to be not quite equal. The tendency is to grow and grow and grow and to have a bigger and bigger bureaucracy. But the key thing, if America does embark on increasing its healthcare system, as an outsider, would seem to me to avoid monopoly supply of any kind. As long if you can, if you insist on having more and more government control, then in Europe at least, what appears to be the least unsuccessful model is probably that of the Swiss, where each individual, they have to take out insurance, and those people who can't afford it are helped with affording insurance. But each person, of whatever their wealth, can choose which insurance company to go to, and each insurance company can choose which hospitals to use. So there are two stages of choice and competition, which help maintain standards and keep down costs.
James Bartholomew is author of the book, The Welfare State We're In. You can watch a full forum for the book at cato.org.